I want to start out by asking a question. What do we want to get from this study tonight? Understanding, maybe? Encouragement? Anything else? Okay, maybe that's enough for now. Huh? And I want to ask the question, why? Well, let me first read the passage. The powerful passage tonight is found in Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. For those of you who haven't been in the class before, we've been studying powerful passages of the Old Testament on Wednesday night. And the powerful passage we're looking at tonight is verse 12 here. And I'll read it again. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So now I ask the question, what makes this a powerful passage in your estimation? Yes, sir.
Well, it was spoken of as though it were in the past. It was really a future event. So I assume that Isaiah saw this as a vision and spoke of the vision that he'd seen. So he's speaking of it as it happened in the past. There's actually a prophecy or a vision of the future when Christ died on the cross for our sin.
Any other comments on that?
Powerful because of that makes it the last phrase there. He is the bore the sins of many. That's our path to having our sins taken away.
We're looking at Isaiah 53. Verse 12, Isaiah 53:12, for the powerful passage tonight. Yes, I think it's easy to see that this is about, the fact that this is about our Redeemer and our redemption makes it very powerful. And what is a Redeemer, by the way?
When you're talking about being redeemed, you're talking about being bought back. So it's one who's able to buy us back. In this case, that buy us back from our sins.
Buy us back from our sins. So that would mean buy us back from the penalty of our sins, right? And a redeemer is one who pays a ransom price. Not too long ago, Dave had our class on Wednesday night. We talked about ransom. And I want to look at, in respect to that, Titus 2 and verse 14. And Becky, would you please read verses 11 through 14?
Titus 2,
11 through 14.
The gracious love of God has appeared to save all mankind. It trains us to say no to ungodly ways and worldly desires, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this world. We are waiting for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us so that he could buy us back from every kind of sin. He wanted to make a nation clean for his very own, a nation eager to do good deeds.
Thank you. So now we want to look at the meaning of the verse and commentary on it from the Bible. The first part of the verse, therefore I will give him a portion among the great. Who do you think are the great that are referred to in this verse?
When he is glorified in heaven by the Father, that's about the richest you can get.
Okay, in fact, God gave him a name that is above every name and made him the most important. Philippians 2 and verse 9. If we look at it from a human standpoint, he was certainly among the great conquering ones of the earth. I mean, his, of course, was a spiritual conquest. And accommodating to human modes of thought, like Daniel compared Christ's kingdom with the kingdoms of earth. So what about dividing the spoil with the strong? What is spoil?
If you have a great victory and you can take what the other enemy has, that's your spoil.
Okay, so here specifically from this verse, what would the spoil then be? Divide the spoil with the strong. And along that line, we might ask the question, who are the strong? I think we can see from the rest of the verse who the strong are, in my understanding, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I think that we would be the strong because of his sacrifice. What do you all think about that?
It's God's people that are strong because they receive the reward from the sacrifice that he made.
Right.
If they're willing to accept it.
And what do you think this spiritual spoil would be in this case?
The victory that's in Jesus.
Excuse me?
The victory that comes through Jesus. Because when you're kind of that, you said that.
The victory.
You have the spoils when you have a victory. So what he was able to achieve in getting through his victory over death and in conquering sin, he's able to share that with all those who are faithful to him. And to me, it's interesting that he uses the term strong here in describing God's people, because in other places you can go and talk about how we're weak because of our sins or whatever, but here it's like those who are strong, and I assume because of their strength of character and being able to be faithful to him or something along that line. So if you're able to show that strength and everything, you can share in these spoils of the victory in Jesus.
Reminds me of what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. All right, now let's look at the fact that he poured out his soul unto death. Philippians 2 and verse 8, would you read that please, Becky? Well, see, before you read that, I want to start assigning a few verses here. Ken, would you look up Romans 5, 6 through 8? And Beth, Romans 14, verse 9. And John, would you get Matthew 15, 21 through 28, please? Okay, along with the idea of he poured out his soul unto death, Becky, would you go ahead and read Philippians 2, 8?
Philippians 2, 8. He humbled himself. He obeyed, though it meant dying, even dying on a cross.
Ken, Romans 5, 6 to 8.
For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
And Romans 14, 9.
For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living.
And Becky, would you read again Acts 26, 22, starting Acts 26. Yeah, starting with the place in the verse there that I talked about before.
But God helped me, and he is still helping me today. With God's help, I'm standing here today and telling all people, whether important or unimportant, the things I have seen.
Okay. Does that complete the thought I think I meant?
Probably in the next verse.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am saying nothing new. I am only saying the same things which Moses and the prophets said would take place. They said that the Messiah would die and be the first to rise from death, and that the Messiah would bring light to Jewish people and non-Jewish people.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on these verses?
Certainly going to die, but that wasn't the end of it.
Amen.
That sure is different.
Simple English.
Oh.
All right, if there's no further comments on that, we'll look at him being numbered with the transgressors. Matthew 15. 21 through 28. And before you read that, I'm going to have that problem maybe that I had last time with the class where I forget people's names. Would you please read that? Luke 22:37. When we're ready for that.
Oh,
what?
You said Matthew first.
Yeah, he's going to read that. I'm assigning some more verses before we read that.
Can you tell me Luke 22:37?
But don't read it yet. And then the next one will be Matthew 26:65, Tony. And I don't know your name, sir, but if would you mind reading Luke 23:32? Okay, now we'll go back to Matthew 15:21-28 in with respect to being numbered with the transgressors.
Okay, ready?
Yes. Please.
Okay. And Jesus went out and withdrew to the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent unto the lost sheep of the house, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast to the dogs." But she said, "Yea, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, that it be it done to them thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed from that hour.
Ken, do you know how to tell if this thing is on? I'm not sure if I pushed the button or not.
I know you pushed it earlier. I saw you push a button.
You did see me push it?
I saw you push a button.
Okay, well, I probably did.
Looks like it's running.
Okay.
Numbers are changing anyway.
Okay, so what connection does this story have to do with Jesus being numbered with the transgressors? What do you think, John? What was he doing with that woman? What kind of woman was she?
And what says she came that woman, came from the board and cried.
So what was the Jews' relationship to people, those people?
She was non-Jewish, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't have had any relation to that.
They were looked down upon by the Jews, were they not?
Christ, you know, said that, what do I have to do with dogs?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, showing, not so much that he was calling, but showing the attitude that the Jews
would
have had towards
them. Okay. And then in Luke 22:37.
"For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in you. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning you have been."
Okay, by the way, I was going to cover this later, but I guess it'd be a good place to cover it now. What is a transgressor? What does the T-R-A-N-S, trans, what does that mean?
Cross.
A cross. And I was trying to,
somebody who breaks the law.
Right. I was trying to figure out the etymology, I guess you call it, of the word, and figure out where aggressors comes in, and all I could think of was aggression, and I don't know if that has any connection with it or not. I think Becky thought I was trying to push it too far by trying to figure it all out, but anyway, yeah, transgressor is one who passes over a certain limit or breaks or violates some law or rule. So Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. And I guess we never really said this at the beginning of the class, but I guess everybody in here recognizes this as a prophecy of Christ, incidentally. So,
now in particular, it's referencing, I think, the two on the cross, or the other two crosses that were with the two beings on the cross.
Yeah. I think that's one of the passages I was going to get to later, but he was also condemned as a, in connection with being numbered with transgressors, he was condemned as a blasphemer, Matthew 26:65.
Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy."
And as Ken just mentioned, he was crucified with criminals, Luke 23:32.
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is a kind of a strange Bible. It's a Catholic Bible I bought at a garage sale for 50 cents. I'm a Protestant. It's got some cool books in it you've never heard of before. the numerology is a little strange here. They've got tiny little numbers between the verses, and I can't quite see them. So, did you want to read further? Did I get it started right?
Yeah, I think so.
23:32.
Yeah, 20. Matthew 27:6.
Luke 23:32.
Yeah.
Did you want to read further? Is that?
No, I think that, read it again, please.
Okay. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with them.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to establish, that he was crucified with the criminals. And did I assign Matthew 27:63? Mark, would you get that, please? Matthew 27:63. And Andrew, would you get Deuteronomy 21:23? And would you ask your mother would you ask your mother to get Romans 5:15-19? Would you please forgive me? And we'll stop there for now. Okay, he was called that deceiver, and this is still in connection with being numbered with the transgressors. Matthew 27:63.
Saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again."
Okay, and then also, in connection with him being numbered with the transgressors, he was generally regarded by the Jews as under God's curse. And I think we see this as we understand this as we look at Deuteronomy 21:23. Yeah.
"His corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For who is hanged is cursed of God, that you do not defile your land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance."
All right, and that of course is why they broke the legs of the two criminals, so they could be buried before the end of the day. And of course they didn't break Jesus' legs because they found that he was already dead. Any comments on being numbered with the transgressors.
I think it's interesting in some of the verses that you brought up, because when we read that passage in Isaiah, we instantly think of, okay, he was crucified with two other thieves, but especially in like this last verse that you had, like even just the fact that he was crucified and counted among the transgressors gave him a curse to those who weren't believers in him that would hang with him beyond that night. So it became a huge stumbling block for many of the Jews to be able to come to him. So it's an interesting thing to think about here, maybe to kind of expand our thinking a bit about what that being counted among, numbered among the transgressors can really entail.
Very good. Appreciate that comment.
Especially the Jews, because they're a very proud people and always brag about their accomplishments, and for them to have a Savior appear this way, only the most spiritual could even understand it.
They looked upon themselves as very righteous, didn't they? Like the Pharisee who in the temple who bragged about how fine a feller he was, and the publican was over there beating his breast. Any more comments before we go on to the next point? Okay, let's look at the fact of him bearing the sin of many. I assigned Romans 5:15 through 19. I don't think I assigned 1 Corinthians 15:3, did I? Judy, would you please get that? And Jim, would you please get 1 Peter 2:23 and 24? 1 Peter 2:23 and 24. And would you get Hebrews 9, please, 27 and 28? Okay, he bore the sin of many, Romans 5:15 through 19.
But the free gift is not like a transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more with the grace of God, than the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. On the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation for all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For it's through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous.
Okay, if we have any comments as we go through these verses, just go ahead and speak up before I go on to the next verse.
Larry, what we were just talking about, how horrible it was, the comments that was made, that how horrible his crucifixion was, whole scene surrounding that, and did this cause it an act of righteousness? Kind of a totally opposite view, a spiritual view of what the horrible event he was. It was an act of righteousness.
He was an act of righteousness.
Well, his crucifixion was an act of righteousness.
Yeah.
He obeyed the Father. father and went through with it. So in the middle of this horrible event, it's called an act of righteousness.
Yeah, that's many things about the crucifixion that where you see the two sides of the horror and the love contrasted. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3.
Okay. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
In 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24.
Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed.
Okay, this reminds me of what we read earlier in the chapter about how he was led as a lamb to a slaughter and he didn't open his mouth. In Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, okay. Any more comments at this point before we go on to the next point? Okay, finally, we want to look at the fact that he made intercession for the transgressors. What is intercession? Excuse me? Okay. The go-between.
Well, I remember one time I was down in D.C. and I saw this bully trying to start a fight with his kid. And so another guy walked up and stood between him, and he was kind of like that in between. That's that weird.
He became
the intercessor.
The intercessor.
He interceded for that kid. And he was the hero. The other guy kind of back down, so.
Yeah, it's a good example of an intercessor. And as we said earlier, he interceded for the transgressors. And as we said earlier, the transgressor, to transgress is to pass over a limit or to break or violate some law or rule. Okay, we'll start over with you, Ken. Would you get Romans 8:34 and Beth, Hebrews 7:25, please? And John, Hebrews 9:24. And Liz, would you please get 1 John 2, verse 1? Okay, he made intercession for the transgressors, Romans 8:34.
Romans 33 and 34.
Yeah.
Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us.
Any comments? Hebrews 7:25.
Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
And John, Hebrews 9:24.
For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pedigree true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us.
That's an interesting way of looking at his intercession, I think, that he appeared before the face of God for us. And 1 John 2, verse 1.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Any comments on any of these verses?
Where it says, for he bore the sin of many. Note in my Bible, says that the Hebrew is took up. For the word bore, he took up the sins of many. He took them on himself.
Yeah, that's like you're standing there and there's a load to carry or to bear, and you pick them up or you take them up, and in some cases you might put them on your back and carry them for many miles. What?
There was plenty to take up.
Yeah, for sure there was plenty to take up.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them that there ever was and is today and ever will be.
We were talking about how he made intercession for the transgressors. But when you stop and think about a situation that would require an intercessor, and we go to the example that you were talking about, bullying thing. I think when you stop and think about it, it just shows our inability to act on our own behalf. The only reason why you need somebody to intercede for you is if you're not capable of acting on your own behalf. And the fact that he was able to, first of all, willing to intercede for us, show his love and mercy he would have for us, and that he was able to intercede is the next step there, that he was acceptable to provide that intercession. So, but if he wasn't willing to provide that intercession, we were in a hopeless state because we could not act for ourselves.
And he certainly struggled with that willingness, didn't he? He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be done, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
He's a credible advocate because he's lived like we did. He was tempted like we are. And so he can really advocate for us in the presence of God because he knows what it's like, you know, to be on this earth and to live and to be tempted.
Yeah, like he's standing before God and he says, Father, I want to intercede for these people because I know what it was like when I was down there on earth and I faced these challenges and these temptations. Very good point.
I think that should give us comfort that, you know, our advocate knows what we're going through in this walk, in our walk.
Right.
I'll go ahead.
Yeah, the scriptures are read all that. Hebrews 4, chapter 14 through 15. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace now at the time of need. Just like you were saying, we should have confidence in the fact that Christ understands what we went through, and he withstood it, and so forth.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I think in a way, it's almost like two types of intercession that Christ provides. You want to call it an initial intercession, then maybe the continuum. But the first thing here is just the situation itself. You have a humanity that is lost in sin that can't do anything for itself. He saw that situation and was willing to step into it and act and provide intercession for those who would be faithful to him. So he interceded to provide a way out of that situation. Then you have the continual advocacy that's there that he provides on behalf of his people. And everything before God, because we'll all continue to sin to some degree, and I think we're human and we still have our failings. So he continues to provide that advocacy for us. But you have that initial intercession that he did just to provide a way out of that hopeless situation.
Okay. Excellent point. Yes.
I think it's also important to note that the reason he's able to go before the face of God is because that he is innocent. Because evil can't be in the presence of God, so we can't go before God ourselves. We have to have Christ as our intercessor to go for us into his holy presence.
John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So we've seen that all of Isaiah 53 foretells Christ's sacrifice for our salvation. He was the Lamb of God, and we are all transgressors for which he makes intercession. And it's for this reason that we owe service to God. In John 17... let's look at that in conclusion. In John 17, in the beginning there, Jesus was praying for himself. Verses 1 through 5. He said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." So Jesus himself acknowledged the glory in the sacrifice. What is glory anyway?
Honor.
Ascribing honor. Yep. And finally, I want to read from John 15, verse 8. Emphasizing again our part in all this. And this is going to be sounding different because it comes from this version called the Christian Bible. John 15, verse 8. "My Father is glorified by this, that you might be continually producing much fruit. Then you shall be my disciples." So, God is glorified, God is praised, God is magnified, God is extolled as we are continually producing much fruit. Any other comments?
We can really do what you've done tonight with every verse in chapter 53. I mean, the whole thing is to us. Hindsight, we can see how it's so clear that this Old Testament passage refers to Christ as sacrifice. What do you suppose the Jews did with this chapter? I don't have an answer for that, but you know, at the time then, or even later, people that don't accept the Testament, it seems so obvious to us. You wonder how they could interpret this. Is this just a mystery that they don't understand and they think will be fulfilled someday? Or have they got some other explanation for Christ? Does anybody know?
Very good question. Adam.
I guess my only thought is that it would probably be the same as how we deal with Revelation, but not to a certain extent. We're just not sure of it. I mean, you can attempt to interpret it, but to a certain extent, God has his ways, and we're not going to be able to fully understand them. So I'm sure they
Does the fact that they were looking for an earthly king and kingdom have anything to do with it, do you think?
Well, but this chapter, this doesn't sound like an earthly king. I mean, there's nothing in this chapter. If I was a Jew at the time and I was looking for a physical king to rule over, conquer the Romans, to rule over, I would not turn to this chapter and find it. That had to be the first thing in their mind.
I guess
that he would come and suffer and die and not take over the world.
I guess that's why Jesus was so perplexed with his apostles, that they didn't understand what he was trying to teach them.
Could be.
Okay, thank you all very much. Thank you, ma'am.
Good lesson, Larry.
Thank you.
Verses up on the board, because you spend so much time scrambling for to find them that it distracts from listening being read. You know, it's just
most of the teachers produce a sheet over there that gives us a reference that we're from. But
I don't know. What is this thing anyway? Is it recorder?
It's a tape recorder. Okay, it seems to be. No, it's still ticking.
Let me take a look. I've got one. Not that this
I don't know
exact
where the off
model
button is. I'll take it out of the
I'll go to the glasses. Let me take a look at this. Because I have something like this myself.
It may not go on.
This ultrasound that they go down.